goodness and thank God for all that He does in our lives. He's good to us, and we appreciate the opportunity we had this morning to come and worship Him. I want to say it's good to have all of you here this morning. We're just so thankful that we serve an incredible God, that He would work out every detail in our life to see to it that we'd be where we are right now. A lot of times we never realize the handiwork of God that's in our lives, how God can work out these wonderful things in our lives to get us in a place where we can hear from Him and be ministered to by His Word. But we've been looking at the words of Jesus. We started this series, and it's going to take quite some time. The more we go into it, it seems like it's amazing how many things Jesus said, but we only rehearse or repeat very few of those words. One of the most famous places that people repeat that Jesus said is when He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten." Who's ever heard that before? Let me see your hand if you ever heard that scripture. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten." Everybody's heard that one. Well, that's not all Jesus said. He said a lot of stuff. And we want to make sure that everybody here is understanding the things Jesus said. That's what we've been talking about. Last Sunday, we talked about recalculating. I mean, you know, that's important that God can recalculate. So if you've ever been going in life, and if you've ever had a GPS or whatever, and you've been traveling, and you make a wrong turn, what happens? What the GPS says? It says recalculating. And sometimes it's just a woman's voice, real soft, and she'll say, "Recalculating." She didn't say, "Stop, get out the car." Right? No yelling. That's how God is. Now, there's a consequence for the wrong turn. What's some of the consequences for wrong turns? It takes what? So it takes longer to get where God's purpose and plan is for you. Maybe there's some bumps in the road. Some more detours. But when you're going along in life, remember this. No matter what happens, the grace of God is sufficient if we'll hold on to it with everything that's in us and not squander the things that Jesus says. Remember that. Now, God don't mind fixing us. But we got to remember that when He does that, it's for our benefit, so we don't do the same thing over and over again. But this is what I like about the Lord. When I make a wrong turn in life, He says, "Recalculating. I'm still going to," what does that mean? "I'm still going to get you there if you'll put your trust in Me." And I want you to know, no matter what you ever been through in your life, and some of you sitting in here, maybe you've been through a lot of stuff in your life. Maybe you can remember with me just saying that your life is recalculated many times. That's the grace of God. He loves you, cares about you. He wants the best for you. God ain't in the business of throwing people away. He wants the best for you. But many times we don't even see that. We figure sometimes, "Well, I finally got my life together." Nobody gets your life together. Listen, if you could do it, we wouldn't need a Savior. If I could get my life straight, I wouldn't need Jesus to die on the cross for me, because I could have done it. But we can't do it because we're weak. He says, we try to do it, but we're weak in the flesh. Does anybody can relate to that? Anybody here relate to being weak in the flesh? But what did God do? But God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us. So that's why you have to accept Christ. If you don't accept what Christ did, then there's no remission of sin. None whatsoever. Your sin is still before you. I don't care if you figure, "Well, I straighten myself up, I ain't going to do that no more." It doesn't make no difference if you decide to quit doing something. You still have to have your sins forgiven, washed in the blood of Jesus. You have to accept Christ. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl can go to the Father. And that's our goal. Ultimately, that's our goal, to go where the Almighty God dwells. Who can go to the Father? He said, but through Him. It's got to be through Jesus. So if that's the case, shouldn't we pay attention to the words of Jesus?
Yes, absolutely.
Shouldn't we pay attention to those words? Amen? So that's what we talked about. So last week I was dealing with this. We did Sunday morning, Sunday night. So there's two services that we take. So a lot of scripture gets read. A lot of area gets talked about. So I want to just briefly finish up this review, because what I'm doing is just reviewing what we talked about last Sunday. And then we'll have to just move forward, because there's no way I could cover all those verses again. I'll cover just the high points. John extols Jesus, the woman at the well. One soweth and another reapeth. And we'll try to finish all of that. Some of that we didn't cover. But there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, this is Jesus' words. Everything I have underlined is what Jesus said. Give me a drink. Give me a drink. So we covered this last week, and we've seen the significance there. The woman at the well, and Jesus in verse 10 answers and said to her, again, I'm just reviewing this, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Very important statement of Jesus. So what is Jesus? He's declaring something right there. He says, if you ask me, if you knew who I was, I can give you living water. Living water means you'll never thirst again. And there's a reason he said that, and we pointed out that, and we'll get to it. In the 13th verse, Jesus said unto her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the well water. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water, springing up into eternal life. So what happens is when you, let me just go and explain this again, so everybody's clear on this. When you come to Jesus and you take part of the water that he gives, which is the everlasting, eternal, living water that he gives, you have to understand it's not just to satisfy you or sustain you for that day. He said it's going to be a what in you? A well. Remember that. That's the key. And this is what I feel people get beat up by the enemy. They figure, you know what, I just got to go back to church and get more. Well, you don't come to church to get more. You got to understand, when you leave the church, Jesus Christ is a well in you. In you. It's a well that you have. And what does that well consist of? Living water. And what does it do when you need it? It springs forth. And then how does that happen is what we've been sharing on Thursday night. It happens by the Spirit of God. You don't have an understanding of that. Let me go to the next one. And I'll show him. John 7, 37, verse 239. What did he say? Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty. Notice that. If anyone is thirsty. Now what is he making this reference about? His description here is, if you don't have living water, you're thirsty, and sometimes you don't even know it. Let me ask this question. How many here, before you came to Christ, could see and recognize in your life that you had a need of something that was missing in your life? It was void of something. You just couldn't figure it out. And you might have been here and you tried everything. I know some of your testimony. I mean, we got a testimony in every seat here. Everybody, you got a testimony of where you come from, but you was constantly looking for something and trying to fill something that no matter what you did, it never could be filled. That's a thirst. You're thirsty. He said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come. This is what Jesus is saying now. And this is what he said. He stood up and he cried out, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now, I want you to notice something. We're not talking about just you get a sip and now you feel better. And that's what happens. There's too much of that happening in the church. The church is not set up for that. We're not set up because, what happens when you break your arm? Where you go? You go to the doctor and they x-ray it, and then they put a cast on you and you go home. And then you might go for a checkup. But you understand that what happens is that's what you do when you break something. Now, who goes to the doctor just because you feel like it? Nobody does. You only go because something got broke. Do you understand that? And that's what people think the church is set up for. I go and break my life down until it can't be fixed, and I run to God, and He's supposed to fix it. And then after He sees me once or twice and gives me what I need to take the pain away, then I wait till I break it again. That's not the church. Church is about relationship. Church is about showing you that in life, you guess what? I don't care if you go to church or you've been in church all your life, you're still going to break stuff. It's not the fact that you don't go to church that it breaks. Life breaks things. Life has encounters. Life has situations and problems. That's the way it is. We live in this world that we live in is not perfect. It's imperfect. It's because of sin. And because I come to church, do you think that fixes the world of sin? No, it's still out all the way around. Do you think Jesus was living in a perfect environment? How many of you know there was a lot of trouble around Jesus? I mean, He went to a well to get a drink, and here's a woman who's got five husbands. He's got problems. But He started to show, well, let me tell you something. If you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. So I want you to understand that church is what? Church is about relationship. You have a relationship. Does it mean you're still going to have problems? Yes, you will. But you know how to get through those situations and those difficulties because now you have a relationship with Jesus by the Spirit of God. Isn't that incredible? And so I want to show you that today, and we're going to go much further in this. But He says, he who believes in me, as the Scripture said. Now you got to believe as the Scripture. So how do you get Scripture? There's a couple ways to get Scripture. A couple ways. And many times we don't recognize this. How many's got a smartphone? Let me see your hand. How many's got a computer? How many's got a Bible? All right. Like one of these. Not on the smartphone or on the computer. Like one that's paper. You know that you can feel the pages. How many's got one like this? All right. Now, how many's ever made enough money to buy one like this in your lifetime? All right, like five people. Come on, nobody's working around here? I'm here. I'm up here. I'm exposing myself. Every Sunday I expose myself in front of you. So work with me a little bit. Has anybody ever made enough money to buy one of these? You can go like to the Dollar Tree or whatever they sell. They sell them in the dollar stores. They sell them. Dollar Tree, you can buy them. So when I said that, because I'm always in the Dollar Tree parking lot reading my Bible. Sometimes I wonder how I get there. Now look, my wife's not there. We know where she's at. But anyway, you can get them at any price. You know, you can get them expensive. It doesn't. What my point is nobody should be without an excuse to have this. Now, here's the thing that he says. You have to believe as the Scripture said. How can you believe what Scripture says if you don't know what Scripture says? How could you do that? That's impossible. Absolutely impossible. It's absolutely impossible. You cannot do it. Right? Let me see if I could see. Raise your hand in here if you ever tasted a cold water mountain fish from Jumla. That's in Nepal. Let me see your hand. Raise your hand if you ever tasted one of those fish. All right, now I'm going to ask this question, and it's kind of crazy. What does it taste like? And nobody here knows, because you never had a cold water fish out of the rivers of Jumla in Nepal. I had a piece of that fish just a few weeks ago. So I can tell you how it tastes. Pretty good. But up until that point, I couldn't tell you because I didn't know you'd even had fish in that river. You understand? How do you know what Scripture says if you never read Scripture or never study Scripture? That's what church is for. That's what church is. That's one way. Secondly, you should have one of these to go back and check out every single thing I say. You should go back home, and everything I'm telling you, you need to go check it out. That's the relationship you got to have in order for what he's talking about here from the innermost being. Remember the well in you? When he told the woman, he said, it'll be a well in you. From your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So it's about a relationship. It's not about God coming and fix what's broke on you. Now, will he do that? Absolutely. He loves to help us and help. And when, how many of you know after you get faithful to God and start serving God, you're going to slip up and you might fall and hurt yourself. But you have an advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But should we continue to sin, that grace may abound. Shall we continue to sin, that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. So keep that in mind. Go to the next one. Let me see if I can just run through the rest of it. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not glorified. If you come on Thursday nights for our Bible study, Bible study on Thursday, that's important. Because you'll learn about the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, it's very powerful. And this is what he spoke of, the Spirit that had not yet been given. We've got to understand that. We've got to unpack that verse, and we will on Thursday. Because if he gave it from the very beginning of time, the Spirit was there, and the Spirit was active, but you have to understand, this giving of the Spirit was given to those who can be justified. Justified. Because Christ had already died, ascended to the Father, and paid the price in full. He became the sacrifice, then the Spirit. So the difference in how you can receive the Spirit was before it was moved upon because God sent it to do its job. And that's important that we understand that. Amen? Go to the next one. Let's see. And he said unto her, go call your husband. Everybody knows that. We talked about this last week. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he said, you spoke correctly. You have five. Go to the next one. Therefore, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you correctly said, you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. And so he dealt with the issue. How many of you know we got issues? Everybody in here has got issues. And sometimes we think dealing with the issue is to sort of deal with it. But Jesus never sort of dealt with it. He just said, this is what's wrong. And then he explained to her, but the way he did it, before he said to her what was wrong, he told her about eternal life. He told her that it would be in you a well. Now, we know that she had all these issues, but he said still, so you notice Jesus, he's letting you know that, and that's what happens to us. When we come to the house of God, we know our condition is we need some help. We know that. We know that we need it. We go to, we seek in God. When we get up on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, we need it. God knows that. But you got to know that you, what you have available in order for you to reach out and grab hold to it and pull it in and start living that type of life. And that's what God shows us in the Word. Go to the next one. Jesus said to her, believe me, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem nor will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. And so we went in and covered that last Sunday, looking at the difference in worshiping the Father. But an hour is coming, now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit. So what is God? God is spirit. It's clear. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So to worship him, we can't say, the way I worship God, it doesn't make no difference the way you worship. You can't pick and choose. He said, they that worship me must. Notice that. So I do it this way. That doesn't matter. You understand? So what I'm supposed to do? Whatever the word says. If the word spells out clearly how we to worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And how do I, so if I'm in spirit, meaning I have the Spirit of the Lord is directing and guiding my understanding, my intellect, my insight toward God is being directed by the Spirit. Who knows the Spirit? He says spiritual things are known by the spiritual. Pneuma, pneumatikos. That's what Paul used. He used it in the Greek term. The pneuma is known by pneuma. Do you understand that? And so what can the flesh know about the Spirit of God? Nothing. This is what the Scripture says. Absolutely nothing. So why in the world do we sit down and try to reason out, well, the way I see it or the way I feel, you know, it doesn't make, that's not what how we serve God. Remember, it's the way we felt that made us turn wrong, and the computer said, recalculating. Well, I feel I could go this way, it's shorter. I'm going to go this way. But in the GPS is going, don't turn there. You see? So keep these things in mind. Go to the next one. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. What a very powerful statement. So we start to see Jesus unfolding who he is. I who speak to you am he. Because what does she ask? She's asked, she says, we know that there's going to come a day. He said, I who speak to you am he. Go to the next one. But verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. What happened in this situation? The disciples had left when he had this encounter with the woman at the well. He's at Samaria. He has this encounter. They are going to buy food. He comes back and they're going to, you know, they're having this conversation with Jesus. They see all this stuff unfolding. People are starting to gather. She goes back to tell the people, you got to come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. It's absolutely incredible. The disciples get back. They say, well, Jesus, we have this food. Are you ready to eat? He says, I have food to eat that you know not about. They were wondering who came and brought food to him. Notice that. They never got that it was a spiritual statement. He wasn't talking in the realm of the flesh anymore. He was talking in a spiritual statement. He said, our food to eat that you know not of. What did they say? Who brought food to him? See, that's how we think. But you have to remember, when you worship the Lord, don't try to worship him in your own understanding. When you pray, we want to rationalize and think everything through. You have to pray in the spirit. You have to sing. He said, sing in the spirit. Right? Those are important principles. And so on Thursday night, if you want to learn about that, I'm going to tell you it's powerful. It's powerful. Go to the next one. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Notice that. So are we looking at two different types of food, right? We got natural food. How many like natural food? How many's eaten anything in the last 3 days? Anybody? Let me see your hand if you've eaten in the last 3 days. All right. We like to eat, right? We like to. I'm not going to ask if you ate this morning because some people miss on that. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not going to have anything. This, you know, they just do that. So that way when I'm preaching, their stomach starts rolling. And I'm like that on Sunday morning. Rarely do I have anything. I may drink a cup of coffee and then I'm ready to go. But it's just by habit, you know, just because I got things that I got to focus on Sunday. It's not every Sunday. Occasionally, I might have a piece of dough. So I'm sure everybody's eaten in the last 3 days something, right? Right? We might have eaten more than we, right? Been good, too, right? Has it been good? Let me just go and just run a poll. What's the last thing you've eaten? Biscuits. I guarantee you that was this morning. I'm just guessing. I'm not prophet. Three of them. With butter? Oh, my. Biscuits and butter. Coffee? That was good, right? So you remember what it tastes like. What's the last thing you eat, Brother Troy? Shrimp? Oh, my. That rice? Shrimp? Oh, boy. Did you put it in there and kind of squeeze it together? Whew. Brother Brian, what's the last thing you eat? Omelet. What was in that omelet? Everything. Oh. Glory to God. So, see, everybody in here, you know what it is about physical food. Now, the disciples, they were thinking about the last time they had eaten, and they were preparing to eat again. Physical. What did Jesus talk about? Spiritual food. Right? Spiritual food. How many know that there's something in your body that automatically tells you, feed me? Anybody ever have that feeling come on you? Some of you got it working right now, going, knock, knock. Right? It's starting to tell you, okay now, you didn't have biscuits and butter and coffee and no omelet. You didn't have that. So it's time. How many feel the time coming on you for you to eat, right? Put your hand down. You got to raise yours like that. So there's something on the inside of you, automatic. Nobody starts pushing your I'm going to eat button. The same thing in the spiritual realm. The Holy Spirit will want you to eat. It'll say, feed. And you'll have the same. Now listen to me. I want you to listen to me careful. Too many times we go around and say, well, I just forget to pray. You didn't forget. You didn't have prayer in you. You didn't hear the Holy Spirit at all. Well, I forgot to read my Bible. You didn't forget. Don't give me that you forgot. Next time you start telling me that, you know what, it's been a week, I just plumb forgot to eat. You understand my point? You're not forgetting. You have no Spirit of God that you can hear with your ear. You're not tuned in, because I can tell you there's not a day in my life that goes by that I don't have the same feeling that when I want physical food, then I want spiritual food. It's just there because of a relationship. And the Spirit will constantly push you and urge you, and you'll feel that. I gotta have me a talk with God. Anybody ever have that? Maybe you're just getting in your vehicle and you're going down the road and you say, I got to have me a talk. How many know if you got some windshield time, you got to be doing something with that. Do something. Then you'll feel it. It'll come on you. You can't help it. Same thing with church. How many ever got, I'm going to church. Don't tell me you forgot. We've been having church for thousands of years. This is not something new. You didn't forget. You have that urgency is not there, and the only way you get it is through understanding the things that Jesus declared. Is this helping anybody? And this is what we have to do. So he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. And this is what he said. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Notice what he shifts right into. Now, look, I want you to get this. Jesus constantly goes back and forth from a physical understanding to a spiritual understanding because he's trying to let them relate to what's happening. So we know that there's 4 months before harvest is going to come, naturally. There's 4 months before harvest is going to come. Now, and they know that, so he's going to use what they have an understanding in, and he's going to give them a spiritual significance. He says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white and ready for harvest. Now, he wasn't pointing to the physical fields, because how many more months we got? 4. What was he pointing to? That woman coming back from the town with all those people, come see a man, told me everything I ever done. This is absolutely amazing. And so they look and point down the road. There's a whole crowd of people come. He said, I'm telling you, the harvest is ready. Isn't that incredible? These words that Jesus had, they're significant. Everything he said is significant. And remember, he said, the words I speak, they're not mine. What does that mean, they're not mine? Listen to me. When he says they're not mine, meaning he has the capability, human being, everybody say human. Human beings have a capability of having their own intellect, their own will, their own emotion, their own words. He said, but they're not my words. Distinguishing between his thoughts, his understanding, and he says, these are the words of the Father. That's what he said. This is Jesus said, these are not my words. They're the words of the Father. He's telling me to say this. How does he know that? By the Spirit. So this is what he says. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvesting. These are people. These are souls. So he talked about a natural field, 4 months. Then he talked about a spiritual field ready for harvest. Souls are coming. They're white. They're ready. They're ready to be brought in. And I believe that we're living in a time right now. It doesn't matter. You'd say, well, we got to wait a little while. There's no way. I believe every single day, if we follow the things God says in the Word, as Jesus begins to describe these things to us, and he says, these are not my words, but the Father's. If we look at that, we'll see that there's every day there's a chance to reap the harvest. Every single day. Like today. Today's a good day to reap the harvest. How many believe that? How many can sense and feel that there's the field's white, right? Ready to harvest. Can you see that? You know that. And you instantly knew that. You didn't need me to tell you that. If you're here and you're following the things of the Spirit of God, you knew that. Me saying it's just a confirmation of what God has already told you and let you know. Look at the next one. Verse 36, it says, already he who reaps is receiving wages, and he who gathers fruit for life, for eternal life. So that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together, for in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. Now, Jesus gives, now they got all their groceries. It's like they went to town and they got the food and they brought it back and they got it in bags and they're standing there and they're saying, Jesus, you ready to eat? He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. We got all these bags. Who brought food to him? And they're still standing there holding their sack lunches. And Jesus is talking about the spiritual aspect of how we grow in God. Now, how many know food is important to the body? Food is important. Water is important to the body. Food is important to the body because we gain nutrition from that. That's how you live and survive. Is everybody clear on that? I don't think I have to break that down to a scientific level, right? How many know that's important? If you quit eating and quit drinking water, you're going to eventually die. I wonder what happens if you quit reading, quit going to church, quit praying. I wonder what happens to you. Just wondering. I'm trying to get you to start reading. Start going to church. Start praying. Because that will take you out of that I'm going to die in a moment mode. Is this helping you? This is what Jesus is showing. So we look at the natural aspect and the physical, spiritual aspect. This is what he's revealing to them. And so, listen, he says to the disciples, he says, listen, you missed this. But one sows and another reaps. If Jesus, let's just look at it like this for this one. If Jesus sowed the seed in the woman, did he not? What the seed was of eternal life. He said, told everything she was doing, everything that was happening in her life, loved on her, told her you don't have to be in that situation no more. She goes and tells the people. The Bible says she went and told the men. It actually says that. She told the men. I wonder if it was the five men. I'm just wondering. Serious? They all know? We caught. But then the whole town starts coming out. What does Jesus say? All right, y'all go sit down and eat your sack lunch. This is my seed. I'm going to reap my harvest. He said, no, one sows, another reaps. You know, if you're going to, you got to realize the importance of timing. How many know that timing is so important? Don't miss your timing. It's so important. Like today is a great day of timing. We don't want to miss our timing. So what do? You get up and say, okay, Lord, your spirit's your anointing. I don't know what's going to be happening in any given service. I have no idea even who's going to be there. We don't know that, but God knows before. So the time is important, right? Time is essential. So you have to make sure you give everything over to the timing of God. Look at the next one. In verse 38, so I sent you to reap for that, that for which you have not labored. You didn't labor, I sent you to reap. Others have labored, and you have and you have entered into their labor. Isn't that amazing? Anybody want us to do that? So what does that mean? That means this. You have to understand that God is not going to restrict you because you just get a hold to this. Say this morning, you get a hold to it and say, you know what? I understand what he's saying. I understand that Jesus is, he's giving me some important things. And you starting to feed in the spiritual realm. You feeding. You know that what God's going to do? He's going to automatically allow you to enter in to that which you didn't even labor for. Isn't that amazing? That, to me, that's glorious. And even if you've been all week and you knew these things, but you still didn't do it, if today if you say, you know what? I got to quit that. You got to say, you know, I'm going to quit that. I do all these other things, but where's my time to read and study and pray? I'm going to say, do you know what God will do? He says, I'm going to let you enter into this too. That's incredible. Why does he do that? Because he sees that the greater importance is that many come in. to not just constantly focus on your bad behavior. Do you know God doesn't do that? He's not focused on that you're making mistakes, you're doing all this. That's not what he's focused on. He sees you at a finished product. But he's trying to get on. So why does God remind us occasionally about what we're going through? Because he's wanting you to know, don't stay there. Don't stay in that condition. I remind you to show you. And how does he remind us? The Word of God comes forth. You hear the Word, and it's like one who sees himself in the mirror. How many's ever looked in the mirror? Anybody here has ever went and looked in the mirror? How many's ever told you something like this? Hey, you got something on your face. Oh, really? And you go, anybody's ever said you got something on your face? You go look and see. And what are you looking in the mirror for? You're looking to see what? How perfect you are? No, what are you searching for? Imperfections. That's what you're looking for. You don't look in the mirror because you know your hair's right. You know it. No, you're looking in there because you got this feeling that it's not right. And what do? You put it right. So when we hear the Word of God, he said, it's like one who looks in the mirror. We're looking in the mirror for what? What is the Word telling us? He's letting us know, hey, right there, you got a little smudge right there. You got a little something right here. This is out that way. Just put it down. That's all God's doing. He's just telling you, hey, fix that. Look, you see how it looks? You see that? Do you see that? That's how it looks. But the Bible says if you hear the Word and don't do what it says, you're like one who sees himself in a mirror, then goes down the road and he forgets that he's got the smudge. He forgets that he's got things out of place. And so then he goes out, and then now he's amongst other people. And what light are you going to be if what you're trying to tell somebody to get fixed, you have that same thing that's not fixed? How in the world are you going to help them? You're never going to help them because they see in you the very thing that's in them. The hope that the woman at the well needed was a guy who sat down and said, I'll give you the drink of water that you'll never thirst again. She says, how can you do that? You have nothing to draw with. He said, woman, if you knew the one who's speaking to you, you'd ask me for living water. I got something you have no idea about. And he began to reveal himself. Isn't that amazing? And that's all God's asking for, and that's what he wants for us. Go to the next one. Christ and Cain accuse the nobleman's son. Let's try to go through this one. It's 10 verses. We'll see. So go to John 4. And we'll try to cover as much as we can of this one, and then we'll see what we get to tonight. All right? Thank you, Lord. God is good to us. So in John chapter 4, verse 43, I want to read that. We want to read that text, and then we're going to find a place that we can stop this morning and we just really appreciate the opportunity to the Lord. I'll tell you what, we may just stop right now. Let's just stop right now. Let's stand. John 4, 43 through 53, I want you to go home and read that. That's where I'll start tonight. I'll start there tonight. But listen to me. This is important. I'm a preacher. That's what I do. I could stay here all day long and go from one to the other and not skip a beat. But I don't get to decide that. Now, I just decided, okay, we're going to read 4. And then the Spirit of the Lord says that we're done. All right. I'm not going to argue with God. We're finished. We're going to start tonight. Because I can keep going. I can keep going and going and going and going. And then everything I'm going to give you is truth. It's not that it's not truth. I'm going to give you the Word of God. But we're going to stop right here. And I'm going to tell you, what I wanted to really get on, I'm going to speak about tonight. I want to invite everybody that's here to come back tonight. God will give you some opportunity to practice what you heard today. So what we're going to have, We're going to have a feeding session tonight. And we're going to determine how hungry a person really is for the spiritual meat of God. There's different types of food. Paul talks about milk, and he talks about meat. You take a man who's been out all day long, and he worked all day, and he comes home, and his wife just prepares him a nice warm glass of milk, and he looks at that, and he goes, "What in the world? Huh?" Now, he might drink it, and it's going to satisfy because it's milk. It's going to satisfy to a certain point. But his hunger for some energy, his hunger to be full, it won't come from that glass of milk. It just won't happen. And so he says, "I desire to give you the meat, but you're still on the milk." What's going to happen, because he hadn't eaten all day long, the milk is going to bring satisfaction to him immediately, but for a short period of time. But an entire meal would have changed everything for him. It would have brought back his energy, everything. So you're going to get, so he said, I desire to give you the meat, but you still want the milk. So I want to tell you this. I want to show you how to get the meat of the Word of God and the things Jesus said about that. And we're going to talk about that in this noble son that's healed. And we're going to talk about it in the one when Jesus comes to Bethsaida. And the man's at the... Tonight I'm going to talk about that. Man's there for 38 years. 38 years. And he's sick. He's got some problems. For 38 years, he saw the pool get disturbed. For 38 years, he saw it. And he said, "Every time I try to go, nobody's here to help me." Let me tell you what happens when Jesus steps in your life. He changes everything that's been a routine for 38 years. So don't tell me you've been on it so long. Well, I've been on it so long, it don't make it no difference how long you've been on it when you encounter Jesus. So tonight, I'm inviting every single person here. Listen, if you want to spend the rest of your life impotent, sick, ill, then don't pay no mind to what I'm saying. If you want to hold on to whatever it is that's been ailing you for the rest of your life, don't pay no mind to me. But if you want a breakthrough, you want a Jesus encounter, come tonight. Now, I'm not saying he can't do it right now, because he's about to touch some folks right now. Based on what we talked about. But we gotta, you have to understand, how do we grow in the Lord? We eat the Scripture. We believe the Scripture, what it says. We feed on that. And we're going to keep feeding. So tonight we're going to have a feeding session. And it's going to be buffet style. You come and you can, you know, everybody that likes themselves some good buffet style. You know that. What's the point in a buffet? What, you ever wonder what's the point in it? You can go back. Don't even try to say, "Well, nah, you know, I can just go one. I'm going to carry me." Don't give me that self-righteous, you can only go once type thing. You went to the buffet for a reason. Why is that? I can go back as many times as I want with ice cream to boot. Glory to God. Some of you going, "Oh, if you just shut up. I'm getting so hungry. I'm so hungry standing here." What I'm trying to do is get you to feel that same way where you get so hungry. Church dismissed, you still hanging out. You're trying to call somebody on the phone. You're trying to get you a Bible. You're trying to look up something to read. You're hungry for God. That's what it has to happen. But let me tell you about today. You have to ask yourself, what you come here for? What are you here for? You cleared your schedule, figured out, "Oh, I got a little time. Let me go over there to Faith Temple, go hang out a little bit." I'm going to ask you this question. Let me tell you why I'm going to ask it this way, because I care about you and love you. I hope you've seen that already. I've come here to preach the word to you. I show you in the scripture some things you didn't have no idea that God has available to us, and it's for you, belongs to you, but you got a hunger for it. What in the world did you come here for? What are you doing? Are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you trying to figure out, you know what, I don't want my life to be this way? Well, I want to tell you, it don't have to be. It don't have to be that way. Jesus is the only one can fix it for you. If you could fix you, you'd have been fixed you. We can't do it. I cannot fix me. And the God, he gives us a chance to do it. We're born in life and we go at it. And we go in life and we meet people and we form relationships. We marry, we have children, we have jobs, we in a social networking. We do all those things. Yet we find when we start analyzing our life, we got brokenness, we're hurt, we're crushed, we wind up with sickness, disease, divorce, all those things. We wind up with all bad relationships. We wind up with addictions. And we wonder, what is going on in my life? You know, let me tell you what, you're no different than everybody else in the world. We need a Savior. We need Jesus. We can't make it without Jesus. And the only way we're going to make it is with Jesus, because He can come and fix it. There's a song we sing, let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Huh? Does anybody want him to? When you pray, just let him have his way. You know why? Because Jesus can fix it for you. He can fix it. He knows what he's doing. He fixes things like that. And that's what I want him to do. I want him to fix it for me. But I don't just want to come when I need fixing. He wants to be there. How many of you have had children when they were little? And you're out with them. And the first time they might have fell. They fall down and you go, oh, come here. And you pick them up and you know, they're skin and knee. I remember my children when they first, you know, skin up them, you know, just, you remember the first time they skin their knee, you go, oh my God. Come here. You know, you thought their leg fell off or something, you know. But they skin their knee, and then the second time, you know, the first time you come here, oh, let mama, let daddy get it. And about the fifth time you go, get up. You all right? Dust it off. You know, it kind of grows on you. You haven't seen it like 100 times. You done it again. I told you. Huh? That's how we do. That's not what God does. The one thing about God, He still got that love that when you fall, He says, come. Let Daddy fix it for you. Let me fix it. See, we get, even with our own children, we get used to what they do. We get used to their mistakes. Let me tell you one thing God won't do. He's never going to get comfortable with your mistakes. Because He knows every single one of them is going to potentially separate you from Him. And that's how much love He has. He says, I don't want you to be separate. Come here. So I want to tell you, is anybody here need your Heavenly Father to pick you up? And you say, I haven't been picked up, but that's what He does. You might be here and say, I haven't been picked up 100 times. That's okay. You ain't going to wear God out. You think you're going to wear God out? The maker of the universe? Are you kidding me? If He can take the time to fling all the stars that are out in the sky and name every single one of them, you think you're going to wear God out? You're not wearing Him out. We're talking about mercy and grace. Yes. David said, surely mercy and grace shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let me tell you something. If you want to compare your problems with the God that I'm talking about, let's go at it. I'll let you shoot your problems out, and then I'll talk about the God that I'm serving. So it doesn't make no difference what your problems are today. He can fix it. We need a Savior. You can never fix yourself. We're not going to do it. On our best day, all our brains together, we're not going to fix the world problem. We're not going to fix the economy's problem. We're not going to fix the political problem. Do you understand? We're not fixing that. I don't care who's in, who's out. It makes no difference. Only Jesus can fix it. That's what it's going to take. Well, let me tell you, if those who profess to be Jesus' followers can't follow Jesus, then how in the world is going to follow Jesus? We have been too busy in the marketplace getting food for the natural body, not understanding that Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to do what he sent me to do. And that's what we ought to be focused on. So I want to tell you, it don't make no difference what it is. If you, anybody here, I'm going to ask this question one time. I want you to hear this. If you're in this building, and you know there's a situation in your life that you've been trying to fix, I don't care if it's physical. It's by the way, tonight, if you need a miracle, there's going to be a power from on high. Once I read what Jesus said about the impotent man, if you're walking that, you're going to have a healing take place. I'm expecting a healing in my body. I'm going to walk in that healing because I saw it in the thing. I was going over this again this morning as I was on. So this, I'm going to walk in this healing. I'm going to walk in this tonight. So just keep that in mind. But here this morning, if you're here, and I don't care what it is, whatever it is that's just been, you've been trying to fix for a while, you're never going to do it. I want to ask you something. You want Jesus to fix it for you? He will. He'll fix it for you. Maybe you never made a real dedication to the Lord. Maybe you thought about it, somebody told you about it, but you never did accept Jesus Christ as the one that you're going to follow from here on out. He's going to be the one. If you want to follow Jesus and go with him, you can today. You can't, listen, don't get mad to the church. Don't get mad to organizations. Don't get involved in religious groups. That's not what it's about Jesus. It's about him. It's about what he's the one paid the price. Every religious sect that Jesus dealt with, he dealt with them in a harsh way simply because they were more married to their belief system than they were about what prophetically was spoken about the Messiah who would come, and he stood in front of them and they never even recognized him. And that's what happens. It doesn't make a difference. It don't have to be small organizations, large ones. You could get married to the organization rather than to get married to Jesus. And we don't want that. So we're telling you, don't do that. Listen, you don't put your beliefs in me. I'm just the guy up here speaking. You put your faith in God. You put your trust in the Lord because he's the one that does everything that we need done. So I'm going to ask you this question. If you're here and you got some stuff, you know it is. Physically, mentally, doesn't make addictions. I don't care what it is. Don't chance it. Don't chance it. Get out your seat right now. Come stand up here and we're going to pray together. Now, it's an act of your own faith. You stepping out by faith. If you don't have anything, or if you want to go home with it, go home with it. Don't make a difference to God. He wants it. But if you know I'm tired of it and I need to be free, delivered, set free, get out your seat real fast. Don't think about it. You'll think yourself right out of the blessing of God. So I'm going to go receive. I'm tired. I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve him. And that's what'll happen for you. Thank you, Father. Come spread out so everybody can get up forward. Spread out so everybody, there's still some in the hallway.